Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Hope you're well. Wanted to go over some ideas, some concepts. I know we talk about the global elite, the World Economic Forum, the IMF all the time, but I think a lot of you are kind of scratching your head saying, okay, well, what is their true motivation? Is it all about power? Is it all about control, conditioning, or is it something else? Is there more to it if we scratch beneath the surface? Check out this chart. I think it'll give you a tremendous amount of insight into what drives the global elite's decision-making process. Right here, energy, consumption, and population. So first and foremost, I want to say that I believe the global elite are Marxists, and they, even if they're not Marxists, they're central planners. And I think it's kind of one and the same, but they want to push society towards this centrally planned global economy that I think they believe will take us to this socialist utopia. I think they want to take over the means of production. And again, I don't think they want to do that just in certain countries. I think they want to do that across the globe. So for several different reasons, let's just assume for a moment that their intentions are good. I think they believe that this new type of socialist utopia would be far better than free market capitalism, because the intelligentsia, the enlightened few, in other words, the global elite, would be controlling the whole system. And they look at central planning, or, well, I should say they look at central planning the same way eugenicists looked at the world in the 1900s. And what I mean by that is they believe that there's just a group of people that are just smarter than everyone else. And if you believe that, then it's obvious why you'd want a centrally planned economy, whether it was a centrally planned economy in a country or a centrally planned economy throughout the globe. But let's get into even further nuance. And this is something that I've heard Dr. Chris Martinson, my good friend, talk about. Makes a lot of sense to me. So we see this blue line is energy consumption, and then the red line, population growth. So since, call it 1950, we've seen the population grow at an exponential rate. So has energy usage. Here's the problem, that energy is not unlimited. So let's just say fossil fuels, for an example. We're going to have to get to a point where this blue line starts to plateau and starts to flatten out, because we don't have enough energy to continue to have the energy consumption grow at an exponential rate. It's a limited resource. So the global elite look at this, and you've heard them talk about this quite often, in fact. People like Bill Gates, where they say, listen, if this blue line flattens and this red line keeps going straight up, that's a problem. And he's right. But it's just like Marx, that he pointed out some problems that are absolutely correct, but his solutions are insane. That's the big difference between my worldview and Marx. Yes, you bring up some great problems, Bill Gates or Karl Marx, but your solutions are terrible. Your solutions are just this tops-down type of approach, and we know how that movie ends. We've seen it play out in communist Russia, communist China, all of these countries that try to micromanage the economy and take this centralized top-down approach to everything. It ends in basically usually millions of lives being lost. So the way they look at this is, okay, red line is continuing to go up, blue line is going to flatline. So at least the access that we have to the resources is going to flatline. So we've got a couple levers that we need to pull, or we can pull. Number one, you reduce the population growth. Or number two, you reduce the population's energy consumption. In the mind of a central planner, these are your only two options. Now, in my mind, I would say, no, let's take a decentralized approach. Yes, okay, Bill Gates, you've pointed out a problem. Agreed. But let's let the free market fix this problem. Let's take a decentralized approach and let's make the problem well known and the combined brain power of the 7 billion people on this planet and the combined brain power of an ever-increasing population, therefore ever-increasing engineers, ever-increasing scientists and entrepreneurs, they can handle this. They've done it in the past and they're going to do it again. But see, if you're a central planner, you just can't get your mind around that option, because that would destroy their entire worldview. If the 7 billion people on the planet Earth, if we take this decentralized approach to solving this problem, well, that means we don't need the global elite. That means the whole premise of how they see life and how they see the planet through this lens of, well, these few people at the top are just smarter than everyone else. Well, if everyone else fixes the problem, maybe you're not so smart. And so I think this is why there's three levers there. Again, number one, you reduce the population. Number two, you reduce energy consumption. Or number three, you let the free market create an energy resource that we don't even know about yet that can be leveraged and that we can use indefinitely, regardless of the population. So when you see this chart, and you know that the global elite understand this chart, you go back and listen to things that, whether it's Gates or Klaus or any of these others at Davos, and what they say makes a lot more sense. Their actions make a lot more sense. And what they're trying, the ideas they're trying to promote, especially at 2030, make a lot more sense. This podcast is brought to you by Rebel Capitalist Pro, the best online investing research. I have teamed up with Chris McIntosh and Lynn Alden, two of the best in the business, to create Rebel Capitalist Pro and give you the tools you need to build wealth and thrive in this crazy world of economic insanity. Rebel Capitalist Pro is jam-packed with Chris and Lynn's incredible research. We have live stream Q&As where you can ask your questions directly to Chris, Lynn, and myself. And the best of all, there's an online member forum which allows you to network, learn, and explore ideas with like-minded individuals. What are you waiting for? Check out Rebel Capitalist Pro right now at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. Take action today and do something your future self will thank you for. Here's what I'm talking about. Let's go straight to the World Economic Forum's website. And this is preparing for the future of work. So as part of the Reskilling Revolution Platform's mission to provide better jobs, education, skills, billion by 2030, this initiative brings together business, civil society, education, training partners to collectively drive coordinated action. See, coordinated action. Look at this. Everything they talk about, top down, top down, top down. We need to coordinate this. We need to execute this. We need to do this with our special task force. It's never, you know what we should do? Let's implement a more laissez-faire approach. Let's reduce restrictions. Let's reduce taxes. Let's let the free market take this and run with it. Let's take off the shackles of restrictions and over-the-top regulations and just let the 7 billion people out there solve this problem. Let's let them know we have a problem, but let's let them handle it, because that's what's worked well in the past. See, they can't handle that approach. Because again, if that's the solution, that means the global elite are irrelevant. And that means that the global elite aren't as smart as they think they are. A lot of cognitive dissonance going on there. But let's read the next paragraph. To that effect, the forum has convened more than 200 senior executives, experts across 9 industry-specific task forces. I love that word, task force. Whenever you hear a politician or a central planner talk about a task force, you know that there's not only is it not going to do anything, but it's going to make matters worse. That's what I see whenever I see the word task force, and continuously engages with new champions within these industries and beyond to scale up action and impact of relevant efforts. Again, just they get so, they say so much, they use so many words, but yet say so little, I think is the best way I can describe their blog posts. It just, I don't know how you could in 3,000 words say absolutely nothing of relevance or even nothing that makes sense. But the main point here is, again, they need the senior experts, the executives. So all it's the Davos type. They need to figure out how to steer the economy, how to steer society in the direction they see fit. That's the whole problem here. So, and here you go. This, I think, goes back to this chart that we looked at. So building an inclusive metaverse starts now. An inclusive metaverse. Ay. Well, one thing I think you'll see from the global elite is them really start to push the metaverse, virtual reality, working from home, doing all of these things. Why? Back to this chart. Because if you want this blue line to flatline, right? If you want energy consumption to go down, then what would you want people to do? If you could just wave a magic wand, well, you'd want them to work from home. You would never want them to leave. You'd never want them to drive. You'd never want them to go outside. You'd want them to just sit down and lay in their bedroom, never leave, with just some goggles on, pretending that they're doing things that they're not actually doing. This would be a home run for these people who see this blue line flattening as a big problem. And you've got to realize that I think part of what drives the global elite is they don't want their energy consumption to go down. So if we are going to continue to consume the same amount of energy or more energy moving forward, then we need society to consume less. This is their words, not mine. So how do we get society to consume less energy? I know. Let's just champion the betaverse, and let's just try to push people to work at home and to not go outside and not communicate with other people. Let's just create this whole new world like the Matrix. That the betaverse that only exists online. And what better way to reduce energy consumption so you can consume the same amount of energy? I think at the end of the day, that's really what it boils down to. So I think you can use this intel to predict kind of the global elite's next step or their next narrative that they'll try to push. So that takes us to the next articles here. These headlines: Cervasa sickness lockdowns prevented pollution-related deaths. In my opinion, as we kind of phase out of the Cervasa sickness narrative and where this thing goes from a pandemic to endemic and countries start to do a 180, the media does. In fact, I was noticing today on CNBC, I didn't see one story about the Cervasa sickness. When's the last time that happened? Well, I can tell you 2019. It's been a long, long time, which just shows you that they're backpedaling because they know that they cannot get reelected on this platform of over-the-top restrictions and regulations regarding the Cervasa sickness. But I think this is a short-term reprieve because I think as the Cervasa sickness goes into the rearview mirror, we will see more and more and more headlines about how beneficial the lockdowns were for the environment. Here's another one. The Cervasa sickness lockdown study. These are the environmental benefits of working from home. Goes right back to this chart, guys. I think the global elite see this. They're not stupid. And in their minds, they've got two levers to pull. Reduce the population, reduce energy consumption. How do you get people to consume less energy? You have them work virtually. You have them live virtually. And hey, if you're connected to the betaverse, why on earth do you need to go outside? You don't. So let's just do a lockdown. You know, not forever, but just to flatten the curve, so to speak, from a standpoint of carbon emissions or global warming, or whatever the buzz phrase is at the time. And you've got to do it, because if you don't lock yourself in a cage 6 months of the year and hang out on the betaverse, well, then you want to not just kill grandma and grandpa, but you want to eradicate human existence from the globe. Because if we don't lock ourselves in a cage, that's exactly what's going to happen. You pick the number they choose, you know, 20 years, 30 years. It'll have to be some sort of carrot in front of the horse, or that's far enough in front of the horse where you can never have definitive numbers proving what they're saying. They need to make it as obscure as possible. So the water needs to be very muddy and very murky. And if you have this this doomsday that's 50 years out, that allows you to do pretty much whatever you want in the name of that doomsday right now in the present. And so I think this plays a big role in the narratives that we have heard throughout 2020, 2021 into 2022. And I think even with the Cervasa sickness going to the rearview mirror, you're going to hear more and more of these types of narrative, because it all goes back to this chart right here: energy consumption versus population. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Make sure that you're always standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism.